The following is a presentation of the Chicago Bears Network. On the air, online, and on demand. Visit the Chicago Bears Network page on chicagobears.com. And now, welcome to Bears All Access, your all-access pass into Chicago Bears football, featuring Zach Zaidman and Tom Thayer.
And
Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by University of Phoenix, Tempur-Pedic, and Comcast.
I'm pumped up.
Father's Day Sunday for you, Zach Zaidman.
A special edition of Bears All Access alongside the 85 Bear Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zaidman. Happy to have you aboard. Happy Father's Day to everyone out there. Lots of stuff to talk about with the Bears this week. They wrapped up OTAs, Tom, and then minicamp starts on Tuesday. So let's go back and kind of review what happened in OTAs and where you see the Bears after that phase of the offseason.
They look sharp. You know, they look sharp offensively. They play with a lot of enthusiasm defensively. There's a different tone to the coaching out there by guys like Reggie Herring and the new defensive line coach. Say his name properly.
The defensive line coach,
yes.
Paul Pasqualoni.
Yeah.
Assisted by Clint Hurt.
Right. I wanted to say his last, because there's a different tempo to defensive practice. There's a different volume to it. There's a different encouragement of getting the job done. There's a different concentration by a guy like John Hoke, who has young defensive backs that have to be instrumental in this football team. So when you think about OTAs, just think about learning. Think about the opportunity to teach these kids and then test how well they retain the information that they're feeding them. And that's the tempo you go through in OTAs. You have an opportunity to repeat plays, and you still want to retain a tempo, but it is a great teaching tool.
Can you give us an idea of what you mean when you talk about Paul Pasqualoni's influence on the defensive line compared to, say, what's happened in the past? Because for a while there, the Bears had one of the best in the business in Rod Marinelli.
Right. I'm just talking about their level of enthusiasm, trying to get the point across to a bunch of new players. Say the Coach Pasqualoni had the same players around and been in the same system for 4 or 5 years, then they would understand how to feed each other, how the practice tempo works, and what he expects out of their effort level. All this is new, and then you have so many new players that are trying to forge these relationships that are going to be profitable on the defensive line sense. Now, Jeremiah Ratliff has to learn a little bit about Jared Allen, known of his personality, what he's thinking on a specific formation against a specific offensive tackle that they're going to be facing. There's so many elements to the specificness of the position player that you're going to play that you can have conversations endlessly and try to figure out how to work best together.
Bears All Access brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score. See the Chicago Bears gear up for the first time at Soldier Field this year. Tickets on sale now for the 2014 Chicago Bears Meyer Family Fest presented by Chase on Saturday, August 2nd. Visit chicagobears.com to get tickets. You bring up an interesting point because I was talking with Stephen Paya, who is slated to play the nose tackle position right near the three technique on the interior of the Bears defensive line. And he mentioned one of the big differences is that under Pasqualoni and all the players call him Coach P. That's right. What he's been known as for years. Paya says that he has to study offensive linemen now more than he did in the past, where he's thinking about the different moves that the offensive lineman is going to use, and that's his concentration, whereas in the past he was more concerned with the people around him on the defensive line.
Well, that's good for Stephen Paya because finally he's learning enough about the players around him where he can focus on the attention to the offensive line, which is really important when you're watching film, because there's so many instances that offensive linemen can give you tips and keys and reads that can make you perform at a faster, quicker, more intelligent level. And that was one of the things that Stephen Paya or any young player has to go through throughout their career. Once they become comfortable with the information and the way they're going to flow together as a complete defensive front seven. So now include the linebackers and even some safeties in the mind of Stephen Paya, because in different blitzes, he works with all these guys. And the better he knows the defensive information, the better he's going to be able to study offensive players.
Reggie Herring is the new linebackers coach.
Correct.
And it's important to bring him up because he has a lot of teaching to do. You have Shea McClellan, who's changed positions now. He's moved over to the linebacker position after being a defensive end his first couple of years in the NFL. Jonathan Bostic has really had to take that next step of learning the game through Herring. a guy who has a ton of experience, played the position in the NFL, has coached it for years in the NFL. What have you seen on the field with that dynamic?
It's not only regulated to those young guys that you mentioned. I was out of practice the other day, and they're going through a special team period where both Shea McClellan and Jonathan Bostic are being used. He's got DJ Williams over there by himself, who has plenty of NFL experience, but he's going through the specifics of the reads of his defense from the Mike linebacker position. And again, even though DJ has a lot of experience, he and Reggie have to become familiar with each other. He wants to know what Reggie's thinking while he's on the sideline and DJ's on the field. So as much as Shea has to learn and Jonathan Bostic has to continue to learn, Kasim Green needs to learn, all these other guys, including Lance Briggs, have some really important details to the linebacker position, according to Reggie Herring, that they must learn again.
Tom, how much should we read into the fact that Brock Vereen, the safety out of Minnesota in his rookie season, the Bears traded up in the fourth round to get him, that he is now taking almost all the reps with the first team at the free safety position?
It just shows you a lot about Brock Vereen. The information that he's given in the classroom, that he can take it and put it according to his feet, head, hands, his body motion, balance, everything, and put it into motion. And I think that is such a key element, because if you have faith in a young guy at this point in OTAs, and you're saying, okay, the information I gave him on Monday, he was able to put it to use on Tuesday, so on and so forth, and then the strict evaluation of all the drills that they put these guys through, it's a really positive sign that they have belief that this young player can come in and contribute almost from the day he gets here.
In a little while, we'll play Ask Tom, your chance to win a gift certificate to Sports Authority. The best caller of the segment, a little bit later on in the show, will get an opportunity to win that gift certificate, depending on what you ask Tom during the segment. Anything in regards to the world of football is fair game at 312-644-6767 here on Bears All Access. Let's flip to the offense, because I think one of the things that we have not spent a lot of time talking about is the fact that the Bears bring back every starter on offense from a year ago, every position coach from a year ago on offense. So for the first time since Jay Cutler became a Bear, there's that feeling that there's some continuity that's being built. And when you go back to his days in Denver, Tom, he had continuity. And in year three, he became a Pro Bowl player.
Yeah, continuity, but that's when the pressure starts. Because when I go out there and I watch the offense go through their drills away from the defense, you listen to Coach Tressman and Matt Cavanaugh, Aaron Cromer, all the coaches that are including in the coaching, and you look at the rate and the speed that they expect things to be done. And then now you have that initial year of the system in their head. Now you got to grow that system in, you know, explosive directions. For example, you put one guy in the mix. I saw this play the other day in OTAs. Marquise Wilson is running a pattern, and Jay's got the faith to throw it into him in traffic. And Marquise makes a perfect catch, splits the linebacker and cornerback. They collide, and he continues upfield. The instances of those timing issues that are making the Bears a better offense. Mark Trestman knows what his offensive players are capable of better than he did a year ago at this time. He knows the information Jay Cutler can handle better than a year ago at this time. So Mark's a better coach than he was a year ago, because he's working with a group of guys that also have, that already have a small understanding of what's expected of them. When I see all this be put in motion by the offense on that side of the ball, boy, there's a lot of pieces that are moving in a very rapid pace. And whether it's Martellus Bennett, Matt Forte out of the backfield, whether it's Marquise Wilson showing speed upfield and making, you know, opening seams underneath for Brandon and Alshon, it's incredible what this offense is going to be capable of. But I think it also does put pressures on each one of these guys, because they're expected to be a lot better than they were last year, because they know the information, they know the terminology, they're familiar with their assignments. And now I think Mark Trestman will grow these guys even more this year.
Only the Broncos scored more points last season than the Bears, who averaged nearly 28 points per game. No team in the NFC scored more than the Bears, and it was primarily because of the offense that Mark Trestman put together and the fact that they avoided key injuries at just about every position with the exception of quarterback, which gets us to Jordan Palmer, because last year Josh McCown did a terrific job filling in for Cutler when Cutler got banged up. But Palmer has not been able to throw the last couple of weeks. He says he's got a strained pec, which is affecting his shoulder, so he hasn't been able to let the ball fly. And he says he's going to be ready for minicamp this week. When you hear that, what goes through your mind?
You know, they're going to, you know, it's pretty strenuous. You go out there to minicamp and you throw a lot of passes, both in the individual period, the team periods, and just the warm-up sessions. So if Jordan says he's fit to throw, he's been through the classroom sessions since the beginning of football season this year. So the mental part of it, he's going to understand as well as any quarterback on the field. But again, the evaluation process of your health status or what your physical capabilities are is very strict. And like I said, every single drill that you're out there, they film, and they sit there and they watch it, and they watch it repeatedly. So again, the evaluation process mentally is going to be as strict as the evaluation that Jordan goes through physically.
The Bears quarterbacks got a visit this week from one of the best quarterbacks during your era of play in the National Football League. We'll talk about that next. Tom Thayer is here. I'm Zach Zabin. This is Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Zach Zabin alongside Tom Thayer, Jim Mills. He'll be back. Jim Mills. I call him Mills. You know, he's Jim Miller. He'll be back with us this coming week as the Bears get ready for Bears OTAs. Bears minicamp. I'm all rattled here for whatever reason. But it is a big week at Halas Hall because it's the final. It's the final exam before the start of training camp that the Bears have. Mini camp 3 days this week, Tuesday through Thursday, and you'll see if all the installation that you talked about that occurred through OTAs takes hold, and you see it out on the football field this week at Halas Hall. Zach Zabin and Tom Thayer with you on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. I want to remind you the Chicago Bears Network presents Inside the Bears, a unique TV show starring Anthony Adams and Lindsay Petrucci, brought to you by Jimmy John's and airing every Sunday night at 10:35 on Fox Chicago. Go to chicagobears.com/InsideTheBears. Pleased to be joined now by Bears running back Jordan Lynch. This is a big week for him, too. He wraps up OTAs, gets to throw out a first pitch at Euler Field. You know, he grew up a Sox fan out there in Bridgeport and Mount Greenwood. And now he gets a chance to join us here on Bears All Access. Jordan, Zach, and Tom with you. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me today.
Were you more nervous suiting up for your first Bears offseason workout or what you had to do the other day throwing from the mound at the cell?
Yeah, that's a pretty good question. I would have to say, you know, the whole Bears thing, just kind of, you know, starting my legacy and getting on the field and kind of showing the coaches, you know, what I'm capable of doing. But on the other hand, you know, I was kind of sweating bullets out there throwing that first pitch.
Hey, Jordan, how's your frame of mind been football wise? Because you grew up a quarterback, you've been a quarterback, and you're now a football player, and your job is more widespread than quarterback, just because I'm saying with running back, both the blocking, running the ball, catching the ball, and then the details to go along with the special teams. I'll get into that a little bit more. But how's your first experience been with the Bears in the NFL?
You know, it's been great. First off, you know, I'll start with Coach Tressman. You know, he's been, you know, one of the best coaches I've been around. And, you know, just the players, the veteran players, just, you know, really welcomed me in. And, you know, I'm really – you know, it's been really fun so far just learning the running back position and playing some special teams. Now, I always considered myself, you know, a football player. Now, even though I was a quarterback, I was a football player, and, you know, I was kind of willing to do whatever it took, you know, to help the team out, and that's what I'm going to do for the Bears.
Hey, where do you where are your concerns, mentally or physically? Because obviously you have a lot of different assignments that go with the running back position, but also physically you have other tasks that are involved in order to be a complete football player running back. Where do you feel is a challenge, mentally or physically?
You know, I would say the mental part of the game is way more important than the physical part of the game, and that's what I'm starting to find out. You know, the mental part with the whole playbook and just knowing where you're going, and I feel like that's huge. You know, any person who wants to play earlier, you know, get more reps in practice, you're going to have to know the playbook inside and out to step on the field.
Can you
so
compare?
You know, it's tons of mental reps for me right now. You know, standing on the sidelines, watching Matt Forte, watching Michael Ford, you know, it's a lot of mental reps, and when I get my chance, I just want to kind of show them what I can do.
Bears running back Jordan Lynch, our guest here on Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Can you kind of put into perspective for us the difference in size with this playbook compared to anything that you've had throughout your career, playing for Frank Lenti at Mount Carmel and what you had at NIU?
Yeah, it's much more complex. This, you know, kind of the NFL playbook, just tons of plays, and, you know, to go with the plays, there's variations of how you can run this play. So, You know what I mean? So you can call it one way and run a different route. So it's just much more complex, and you know, it's the biggest playbook I've ever been around.
Hey, Jordan, the complexity of it, when you hear the play called in the huddle, because the terminology is pretty lengthy, are you reading the terminology as the phrase that pertains to you as a running back, or are you trying to take the entire phrase and understand what it means and the check down, what that can possibly mean according to the defense you're going to see? How do you look at it, running back or quarterback? Sorry.
Yeah, that's one of the biggest things that helped me throughout my whole career, you know, playing quarterback. You know, I kind of learned things like the quarterback, and, you know, I understand the concepts of the play instead of just the, you know, I have a wide route on this play. You know, I kind of learned what everyone else is doing, and, you know, it kind of helps me in the long run with where I should be at the end of the play.
We're talking with Jordan Lynch here on Chicago Sports Radio 670. The Score, Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. When you mentioned your quarterback days helping you kind of memorize this playbook and understand what's going on. Something you didn't have to do as a quarterback at NIU was block. As a running back, in order to have success in this league and get the trust of the coaches, you have to be able to block. How's that been going for you, considering that you can't really go out there and have the kind of contact at this stage of the offseason?
Yeah, you know, it's tough. Just like you said, it's tough. We're only in helmets right now, and you know, we're not, there's no such thing as contact right now. And I feel like just get my technique down. That's what I need in the long run. And that's what we're working on every day, an individual working on our blocking technique. Then when it comes to Bourbon A and preseason games, I'm going to have to carry that technique over into some of those games and, you know, kind of teach them that way or show them that way.
Hey, Jordan, I have a roster from the OTA, 6'2", 220. They have you listed at. When you became the position player, how has the weight room changed for you, and how has special team meetings changed for you?
Yeah, well, I never went to special teams meetings before when I was a quarterback. So now, you know, just showing up in the special teams room and just trying to learn their verbiage and their terminology, because all that stuff's brand new to me. You know, I never even had a play on special teams my whole life. And, you know, the whole weight room now, you know what I mean? I focus more on core and flexibility when I was a quarterback. And now I can, you know, kind of load the bar up a little bit, or at least, you know, try to load the bar up and, you know, try to push some weight around instead of, you know, being cautious.
Visiting with Jordan Lynch here on Bears All Access, you know, you bring up the weight room. It is Father's Day. It was your dad that introduced you to the weight room, right?
Absolutely.
Probably the most important introduction you ever had in order to give yourself the durability to play the sport the way you've been able to play it.
Right. You know, my work ethic and, you know, in the weight room, you know, it all comes from my family. You know, we live in Chicago, kind of a blue-collar town, and, you know, my dad goes to work every day, and, you know, then he goes to work out. And, you know, that's kind of where I got introduced with it.
I remember when we spoke to you at the NFL Scouting Combine back in February, and people kept peppering you with questions about other positions at the time, and you kept maintaining, you know, I'm a quarterback first, and then if I have to play something else, I want the ball in my hands, because people were talking about you potentially being a safety. And the Packers apparently showed interest in you before the Bears called. What did the Bears say that convinced you, even though I have to change positions, this is the right place for me as a professional?
Yeah, I like the way Coach Trestman, you know, he called me up in the seventh round, and they kind of talked to me and saying he showed interest in me and that they didn't forget about me, because there was kind of talk early that, you know, that I would get drafted, or there's a possibility of getting drafted, you know, by the Bears. And, you know, I just, that meant a lot to me. You know, I came from a, you know, kind of hardworking, loyal family, and you know, for him just to be loyal to give me the call and to say that they really wanted me still, and I felt like, you know, that was a good fit. I can play some special teams, play some running back, and you know, kind of help the Chicago Bears out.
Hey, Jordan, it's going to be important too for you, because I think you're really an important reflection to NIU and what they're capable of accomplishing, but also for a guy like yourself that's accomplished so much at that college level, that you have the ability to accomplish even more in the professional ranks because your ability, your desire, and your willingness to change.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm a football guy. I love football, and any way to stay in football as long as possible, that's what I'm willing to do.
Good Good luck this week when you begin mini camp. It's like another test during the offseason and the last one before the start of training camp when you guys really start hitting out there and putting the pads on. Jordan, thank you so much.
No, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Jordan.
Jordan Lynch. And running the ball, not a big thing to him. Think about this. 1,920 rushing yards last season, Tom. The most in NCAA history.
You know, it's going to be interesting at training camp because training camp practices in the morning when they're in full pads, they usually conclude with the session where the running backs are blocking the linebackers when they're rushing either in a run or a pass type of feel. It's going to be interesting to see how he stands up against that, how he learns that trait, because it is going to be a learned aspect of the game for him. And I think that will be an indicator of, you know, where he stands at and, you know, if that's going to be an area that he'll have to improve. But he's definitely got the heart and the desire to be there.
And as far as special teams goes, when you haven't done the things that he's going to be asked to do on special teams, can you learn that at the NFL level?
Yes. You know, if anybody gets a chance to go out to the OTA practices or minicamp, you see this high rate of speed drills they go through led by Joe DeCamillis, and everybody's involved in them. No one's exempt except the quarterbacks with the red jerseys on. So Jordan Lynch is getting a lot of reps at tackling on special teams, blocking on special teams, proper shoulder placement, feet placement, head placement, all these minor details. But you know, Zach, every guy out there is practicing at this level for the first time in their lives because the speed in which they're practicing is a speed that they've never faced before on a college field.
When we come back, remember I said the Bears had a special guest for the quarterbacks this past week.
Yes.
We'll break it down with Tom Thayer. I'm Zach Zabin, Bears All Access on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Bears All Access rolls on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Alongside Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zabin. We just heard from Bears rookie running back Jordan Lynch. And I don't know if you had a chance to see this, Tom, but the Bears do a terrific job with their rookie minicamp series on ChicagoBears.com. Jordan was part of it. Episode 1 was launched last week on Wednesday. You can find it right now on ChicagoBears.com. Episode 2 comes your way tomorrow. Episode 3 Wednesday, and it goes on and on. Really good stuff because you get that inside look behind the scenes of how the coaches relate to these young players. And, you know, Jordan Lynch is a great example of a guy who had a ton of success at the college level, but is starting from scratch at the NFL as a running back instead of a quarterback, learning everything new on special teams, learning everything new from Skip Pete and the Bears offensive coaches. It's a very interesting look when you see them in an element that is not controlled the way it is on these types of situations.
Right. And what a great example he is for his high school and for his college and his willingness to make those changes in order to get the best out of him. Because once your position is set for you in high school, there's no guarantee that's going to follow you through the end of your career. So when you get an opportunity to watch Jordan Lynch's willingness to change after having the success he has, I think it really endears them to the coaches, and they understand they're coaching a guy that's invested. They're coaching a guy that's invested in being not only the best he can be, how he can best help this football team. And Jordan Lynch, he may turn into a guy that's got a lot of hidden secrets that could really make him a gifted weapon with a guy that's imaginative is Coach Trestman. So all these things could really work out for the big picture for the best.
And you went through it. You're one of the few people that can relate to what Jordan Lynch is going through, being a high school star in the area, playing college ball in the area, and then having an opportunity to be a player on the hometown team. What was that like for you?
It was just, you respect the game so much and you respect the opportunity so much. And I come from a big, hardworking family. And it's not the pressure on you. It's the privilege to have the opportunity to do something of your chosen field. I'll say, I want to be a football player since my sophomore year in high school, and I want to play professionally. And then when you have the opportunity in front of you and that your family and your hometown is included, it's the most special thing you can possibly go through as a professional athlete, is have the opportunity to have your family surround you after every game, or, you know, have your family a part of the good times and the bad times.
We want to give you an opportunity to ask Tom. That's going to take place in our next segment, but I want to get the calls kind of lined up here to give people an
Father's
opportunity.
Father's Day edition.
Father's Day edition of Ask Tom. 312-644-6767 is the phone number. In our next segment, we'll go rapid fire style, nonstop questions for Tom Thayer and the best caller of the segment. at least according to me, right. will win a gift certificate to a Sports Authority. But before we hit the break, Bernie Kosar, your former teammate in Miami, had a chance to come to Halas Hall. He goes way back with Mark Trestman from his college days, his days in Cleveland. What do you think the Bears quarterbacks learned spending some time with Kosar this week?
First question I asked Bernie Kosar is, how has Mark Trestman changed since the time he was coaching you? He says, not at all. He's the same quarterback guru guy that I was raised as a young kid. And then with that being said, he was really encouraged how receptive the quarterbacks were to the word of Mark Trestman and how he was trying to teach them not only on the field but in the classroom. And I think that's where Bernie Kosar came around with so much respect for the Chicago Bears. First of all, that they would invite him to come for an opportunity to stand beside the players of the Chicago Bears after that, his career with the Cleveland Browns and other teams in the NFL, but his appreciation for what the coaches were doing for these players and trying to give them the best opportunity to succeed. And a lot of times you see players come in and there's, you know, you have a little suspicion because you don't know exactly the course of action they're taking. And you have to understand that they know where they're going every single day, every single practice.
Every time you speak to someone who is first exposed to Jay Cutler on the field, the first thing they mention is Cutler's arm. But what was interesting is that Kosar brought up the fact that Cutler has this innate ability to use his feet to slide away from pressure, like Dan Marino's right. former teammate had that in Miami. And Kosar was very successful.
Nobody better. Right. I mean, that was the slowest quarterback in the history of the world. And he still stayed alive in the pocket and put up some incredible numbers. And that's no slight to Bernie. I appreciate when you look at Bernie Kosar, he doesn't come to first mind, wow, that guy's a great NFL quarterback. That won't be the first thing that comes to mind, but you got to respect his ability to have feet inside the pocket.
And it has been a major point of emphasis from Mark Trestman to Jay Cutler. Cutler has gotten a little bit bigger this year on purpose in order to take some more hits, but also they want him sliding around, getting rid of the ball even faster than a year ago. They need him. They don't want him getting hurt.
The good thing about Bernie being here, I think it's good to have an evaluator of Mark Trestman that has experience with him, because coaches need their eyes opened every once in a while with an understanding. Look, Mark, this is what you used to teach us specifically when we were young kids. You know, would that help? Or remember when you told us about reading the safety against this certain coverage? You know, those types of things Bernie can relate to at an expertise level and still have that opportunity to speak as a peer to Mark Trestman.
Coming up next, your chance to speak to Tom on Ask Tom. A gift certificate to Sports Authority is on the line. 312-644-6767. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Want to remind you that you can now hear Bears All Access as a podcast. Subscribe on the show page at chicagobears.com. Also want to remind you that it's a day that any Bears fan won't want to miss. Bears Day at Arlington. Get autographs from Bears legends. Pose with the 85 championship trophy. Bears Day, June 22nd. Tickets at arlingtonpark.com. Alongside Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zaidman. It's time to play Ask Tom. Rapid fire questions from you to Tom Thayer in regards to the world of football. At the end of the 10-minute segment, I will pick the winner. Best caller of the segment gets a gift certificate to Sports Authority. Are you ready for these festivities,
ready.
Tom? All right, let's begin. 312-644-6767. We'll start with Paul at Midway. Ask Tom.
Hey, Paul. Hey, Tom. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
Good. Question about, you know, and that Coach Trestman, since the second year, and he seems like he's trying to change the culture of the way things are done. By that, I mean rookies, you know, the sixth-round rookie is kind of an equal of the star player, and lockers were changed where, you know, you're not sitting with your little group and bringing more unification of the team. Is that a trend that he might be a trendsetter for that might be happening throughout the NFL, or is he kind of the lone guy doing that?
I think right now with Coach Trestman, he's one of the lone guys doing that. He's really interested in his teammates developing the camaraderie, no matter where you came from, what position you're playing, what side of the ball. And I think that really makes a healthy locker room. But he also understands the importance of the competitiveness on the practice field. And that's where he has it identified. When you look at the itineraries, it's competitive period. And that's the understanding. So I think it's very valuable to the football team to understand that everybody's equal inside there. The hazing thing has no place because it really is just a setback inside the locker room if every player isn't respected equally. And that's the one thing I do like about Coach Trestman is the respect factor in the locker room. If you have 14 years or 4 months, you still deserve the respect of a quality teammate, and I like what Coach Trestman is doing there.
312-644-6767. Ask Tom rolls on with Rich in Mishawaka, Indiana.
Hey, Rich.
Hey, Mr. Thayer. Enjoyed your career in Notre Dame, plus the Bears.
Thank you.
Thank you for giving us some entertainment. Who was the hardest guy you had to block at Notre Dame and against the Bears and your teammates with the Bears?
Man, at Notre Dame, probably a guy like John Hankard. You know, guys, that was a upperclassman when I got there. There was a real tough guy, outside linebacker, always played physical. You know, when I came to the NFL, is just practicing against McMichael and Hampton and those guys was really tough because of the effort that we gave in practice. But when you have a play against a guy in game conditions like Reggie White, he just stands above everybody. He has superhuman strength. He is great defensive end, defensive tackle, nose guard, wherever you wanted to play him. So Reggie White, I have to give all the respect in the world to the domination that he could put against anybody.
Did you ever get a full night of sleep before a game, but specifically when you knew Reggie White was going to be lining up the next day across from
Never,
you?
But I will say this. Keith Van Horn probably played Reggie White as well as any offensive tackle in an NFL career. And Coach Stanfield, Dick Stanfield, our offensive line coach, did a nice job of getting him prepared. But his athleticism, his feet, his balance and everything took everything to block Reggie, and Keith always did a great job against him.
312-644-6767, Decatur, Dave, ask Tom.
Hey, Dave.
Hey, guys. I'd like to know why, when you interviewed Jordan Lynch, you put down the quarterback position twice, saying it's not really a player position, and then when you talk to Bernie Kosar, you act like he's a genius.
You know, Bernie has always been a quarterback, and he never had the skills that he could expand in any other level of football. With Jordan, I was just trying to respect him as a football player because it seemed like quarterbacks always get a little bit more respect when they come to a football team. But there's not a lot of them that are respected well enough that they believe they have the ability to make a transition to another player. And that's what I respect Jordan Lynch so much for, is because he's been a great quarterback. But I think he has the toughness and initially the willingness to make a change like that. But Bernie, he was going to be a quarterback only.
312-644-6767, McHenry, Tom. Ask Tom.
It's Tony.
Tony, okay.
Hey, Tony.
Thank you. Yeah, hi, Tom. Hi, Zach. I always enjoy listening to both of you.
Thank you.
My question is this. Before the draft, I bought some magazines, and I was reading about the offensive and defensive linemen, and they kept talking about the length of the arms and the size of the hands. How does that help them to be a better player?
You know, I think it's the biggest bunch of baloney stat ever between an offensive line and a defensive line. But it's all about how an offensive tackle can separate from a defensive end when he's in a pass-blocking position. How long will he be able to keep a defensive player away from him before he can initially put a move against him and possibly get around his outside? Now, there's offensive linemen that have, you know, long arms, and they think that's the number one trait for them. It's not. It's how quickly you can move your feet in balance with power in your head up. The length of arms between an offensive and defensive lineman is just all about separation in the style of play that each of their team plays, whether it's offensive side of the ball or defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, for every Russell Wilson, though, that's the exception. You know, when you have guys that don't fit the prototype of the size and, right, and that people are looking for. You know.
Well, and let me tell you something. Jimbo Covert, who came out first-round draft choice our year, he had short arms. He was a stumpy-type guy in considerations. He would still be the best left tackle in the league. He would still come out here and dominate. I don't care if he has 21-inch arms. He still has the feet, the tenacity, the power, and the ability to come off the ball with organized strength and crush you. So I don't care if Jimbo was drafted in 83 or today, he would still be a top offensive lineman.
Whereas someone like Chris Williams, the former Bear first-round pick, who was known for having short arms, just it never panned out for him. But as you mentioned, sometimes it has a lot more to do than just your measurables. 312-644-6767. We roll on. Deer Park, Kenny, ask Tom on Bears All Access.
Kenny. Hey, what's up, guys? How you doing? Just a question for you. So one guy that I love watching, especially last year, obviously, with him being our first-round selection, is Kyle Long. And we know that his strengths are his size and his strength, and one of his weaknesses is the way he uses his hands and his feet. So I wanted to ask Tom specifically, knowing offensive linemen, are you looking for a major jump in his technique because of his first time having a mini camp and such?
You know, Ken, that's a great question, and I am. I'm expecting both things out of Kyle Long and Jordan Mills, because you know what's the most difficult thing to do is think and play football. Now they understand the system. They know the terminology. They know the information that's coming out of Jay's mouth, how it pertains to their assignment exactly. And when you can play the game without thinking on the line of scrimmage, then physically you're going to become a more dominating player. Your hands and your feet and your head are going to flow more fluidly. You're going to understand what position you have to get into on your second and third step so Jordan Mills fits in together, you know, in what how they're expected to. So I do expect big things out of the offensive line, but the right side of the line, huge things.
Three more contestants on Ask Tom. Pistol Pat in Westchester, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, great Pistol. Show, guys. Hey, Tom, Derek, I don't know if you played with Walter Payton back in the day. Do you remember when he broke the all-time lead, when he was all-time rusher, when he broke the record? What he did after the game was more remarkable than what he did on the field that day. Do you remember the post-conference, after the game, what he said?
I do not. You could probably clue us in. Hopefully he probably thanked his offensive lineman or his offense or something.
He said after the game, he goes, this accomplishments for the guys that didn't get a chance to do what I did.
You're right.
Today on the field. The Joe Delaney,
yes,
and the David Overstreets, their life was cut short. One guy was trying to save somebody in a pool. I think he drowned. I think
yes.
It was Joe Delaney. And the David Overstreet, forgot what happened to him, but his life was cut short. And that stood out. To this day, it still stands out to me what he said, what a person he was on and off the field. That's remarkable. You know the man.
It's a great point, Pistol Pat, because even after the good games and the bad games, he used to come around to all the offensive linemen and give them a kiss on the forehead and then go about his business. So he appreciated everybody's involvement. And, you know, that's why Walter was one of the greatest team players in the history of the NFL.
I can't imagine any other of your teammates getting away with doing that to you. But, again,
nope.
Sweetness was a legend. Yeah. Cicero, Mark, you're on Bears All Access.
Hey, Mark.
Hey, guys. Happy Father Day.
You too.
My question is, okay, all of us, we watched the Bears last year, and we know the biggest problem was defense. Knowing the upgrades they did in the offseason and through the draft, what can we expect different from Mel Tucker calling abilities?
That's a great question there, Mark. I think Mel Tucker, again, like Mark Trestman, he knows his players. He knows their strengths and their weaknesses. And I think throughout the sessions of OTAs, when you try to put the academic side of defensive football in, he's going to get a better understanding of what these guys can accomplish mentally, because they all have to be on the same page every single play. We saw what happened when a couple of defensive backs were going in the wrong direction last play of the season. Aaron Rodgers completes the season for the Chicago Bears. So I think every one of those details are going to have to pay attention to. And then when you find out, how does Jared Allen complement Jeremiah Ratliff? And then what is Willie Young doing with Lamar Houston and all the other new bodies they have in and how they fit best together? It's going to be a period of time for Coach Tucker to get it figured out. And this will probably be something that will be easier to answer, Mark, 2 weeks into training camp than right now. Because when you watch these guys run around on the field in no-pad football, yeah, you see the enthusiasm and you see the speed. You got to see how everything fits in when 22 guys are on the field in full pads. And like I said, Mark, 2 weeks into camp, I could probably give you a better indication.
Our final caller from Aurora, Dennis, asked Tom.
Hey, Dennis.
Hi, Tom. I'd just like to ask if you ever wake up in the middle of the night, you're dreaming or whatever, that you're still playing for the Bears.
Not really. I'm glad of. I think I have more nightmares about still being in school and not being prepared for the test that I do of football, because, you know, I always loved going to practice. I enjoyed the games, even though they made me nervous and sore and everything. I was not a guy that didn't like the fact that I got to go to practice every day and run around in the field. So I enjoyed that part of it.
You still sweat, though, when you think of your playing days.
Hey, I sweat when I think of Ditka. Like I do. I mean, he was a guy that ran the projector, and he made football in the work like nervous every day. And I recently told him, I said every day I felt like I was going to get cut, but I respected him for that.
All right. Our caller.
Good luck.
That wins. I mean, we had a lot of good ones.
Oh, my
here.
God. Every one of them is a great question.
Yeah, I mean, really like Pistol Pat talking about sweetness, because it took us back to a time that you got to enjoy one of the great eras in Bears history. Liked Mark's question from Cicero about Mel Tucker and how the defense is going to change. But I'm going to go with Kenny from Deer Park, because Kyle Long, the first round pick last year, made the Pro Bowl. And I feel like he does, like you do, that Long has only scratched the surface of what he's going to be as a player. And I really enjoyed your take on how he's going to take that next step. So we're going to give the gift certificate to Sports Authority to Kenny from Deer Park. Congratulations. When we come back, oh, man, do I have some questions for you in regards to what's going to take place this week at Hallis Hall. Tom Thayer's along. I'm Zach Zabeman. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Join the Chicago Bears Kids Club, brought to you by Papa John's. Members have access to events, contests, and opportunities to meet Bears players, as well as chances to win Bears tickets. Sign up at chicagobears.com/kidsclub. Alongside Tom Thayer, I'm Zach Zabeman. This is Bears All Access, brought to you by Sports Authority. Mini camp at Hallis Hall begins on Tuesday. And we found out this is the last time the Bears get together as a full team before the start of training camp. And there had been some talk that perhaps the Bears would end up on Hard Knocks, because they were one of the eight teams eligible, and they have a lot of star power, from Jay Cutler to Jared Allen to Brandon Marshall. You can go on and on and on. But yet it was the Atlanta Falcons that agreed to do the show, so the Bears will not be on the program. As a former player and now as a guy who watches it from the perspective that we do, do you think this is good for the Bears, or is there a part of you that's going, oh, man, I wish I could have seen the inside stuff?
No, I'm glad it's not here. I wouldn't enjoy the show if I was an active player, because you live training camp in a bad mood day and night. There's nothing pleasant about the next time you wake up, because you're just going to go to a practice, whatever the case may be. And with having cameras and all that extra type of blah, blah they want in your face during that time, I would say if the Bears were more mature a team, say they had a really good year defensively, Mark Trestman had the offense in control, would I want to do it to get it out of the way? Yeah. If I'm obligated to it and I have to do it at some point, let's just do it and get it out of here. Martellus has experience being with the Dallas Cowboys when they filmed it, and they do have some extremely high-profile personalities, and Bears would be a favorable city to do it in, or Kankakee in Chicago would be a favorable city to do it in, but I don't know. As a player, I would hate it.
You know, you brought up the point in our last segment that every day that you played for Mike Ditka was a day where you felt you could be cut, and it brought out the best in you, but you've seen it. You've watched the episodes with the other teams, and they're not shy about showing players getting cut and how that happens. Is that good? I mean, I know we love watching it, but as a player...
Well, you know, you go watch any reality show, they want to show the arguments as much as they want to show the makeup sessions. And I think that's the same thing. They want to see the challenges that come across professional. The guy that dreams of being a professional athlete, they want to see the challenges that come across your desk. And I've been cut. I've stood, eye to eye with Dave Wannstedt, and he says, look, we're going to cut you, and then you're done. So depending upon when and where it happens, you face a lot of different emotions. I was confident where I was in terms of my career when Dave Wannstedt cut me, and I did go on to play for the Miami Dolphins. But when you're a young guy and this is your dream, and the aspirations are bigger than life itself, and you get that rug pulled out from underneath your feet, and you come to the realization, I'm not good enough to compete at an NFL level, it's hard. It's hard to take, because it's hard to take when they say, you're cut after a certain length of a career.
We've got to say goodbye here, and we'll be back on Wednesday, before you know it, in the middle of the Bears mini camp session. What's the biggest thing that you want to see this week?
Jim Miller showing up. No. All I want to do is I want to see guys position themselves to get in and do a depth chart. Because, you know, after many camps in this evaluation, there's going to be a depth chart associated to training camp. Zach, and you want your name on that depth chart somewhere.
Jim Miller will join us. You will, yes. Too, Wednesday night right here on Chicago Sports Radio 670 at 6 o'clock. I want to remind you that tonight at 10:35 on Fox 32 Chicago, Matt Forte runs Anthony Adams and Lindsey Petrucci through his offseason workout, Bears coaches hold an instructional mini camp for women at Halas Hall. All that on Inside the Bears tonight, 10:35 p.m. on Fox 32 Chicago. For our cast of thousands, I'm Zach Sadman saying thanks for listening to Bears All Access. Happy Father's Day. We're back Wednesday, 6 o'clock, right here on The Score. Good night.
Thanks for listening to this Chicago Bears Network presentation of Bears All Access, your all-access pass into the world of Bears football. You can listen to Bears All Access shows online at chicagobears.com. Bears All Access is brought to you by Sports Authority and sponsored by Miller Lite, Verizon, and United Airlines.